The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
And how are you doing, Natalie?
We're both a little under the weather. You were sick all week, and I thought it was in the clear.
Yeah.
And then...
woke up this morning, got yourself a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, like, sick, but I just don't feel all that great, so...
Yeah, but that's where I was on, like, Tuesday, so...
Oh, right.
It's probably gonna get worse.
No, it won't.
I'm on the road to... I'm coming up. I'm on the road to recovery. You're on the way down. I know what awaits you, and it's...
you don't know anything.
Body aches and chills. But, I mean, I tested negative for COVID 3 times.
Yeah, and when we get sick, we have very different sicknesses.
That's true.
Experience. I don't get the same symptoms as you.
Yeah.
So maybe I have a little something. Maybe I'm just tired.
Yeah. I still feel hella stuffed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly I'm better. But this is not a podcast about our personal wellness.
You fooled me.
We actually don't we know someone who does a podcast on wellness? On functional health?
Oh yeah, we do.
Yeah. What the Funk.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Check out the podcast, What the Funk.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if they still do it, but...
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen any updates recently, but I'm sure the episodes are still there. Check out What the Funk. All right. This is a podcast about the television programs Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We're watching both series in concurrence, watch an episode a week, recap, compare, contrast. We have all sorts of fun segments. Right now, we're on to season 6, episode 19. Right? Of both shows. Yeah, season 6, episode 19 of both shows. Season 6, episode 19 of Friends is called The One with Joey's Fridge. Mm-hmm. Season 6, episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother is called Legend Daddy. But we're going to put a pin in Daddy.
Ouch!
And we're going to jump into Friends, season 6, episode 19, The One with Joey's Fridge. As advertised, it opens with Joey's fridge. His fridge is broken. He's pulled it out from the wall. He's ripped the grill off the back, which he's like, obviously that's not help. But I'm like, I know that's part of a fridge, but I also don't really understand what it does either. Friends and mothers, let us know. And he wants Rachel as his roommate to pay for half of a new fridge.
Yeah. Even though he's had it since he was born.
You and I have been through plenty of fridge drama over the years.
Yeah,
and that's one of the weirdest things when I moved here to Los Angeles was learning that apartments don't necessarily come with refrigerators.
They usually do, I think.
I mean, in my experience, more often than not, they don't. My first apartment that I lived in for the first 3 years. Did not, and like I was so broke that we never got a full fridge. We had like a couple of dorm fridges stacked on top of each other, and that was like how we made it work because we were so broke, you know.
Yeah.
Working temp jobs and secretary jobs and stuff like that.
But even like Craigslist, no. But also getting it like delivered.
Yeah, I lived on the third floor, or did I? Maybe I lived on the second floor. It's been so long, can't remember my first place. But then the second 2 places I lived, including the place I lived when you met me, were both the same management company, and they provided fridges. That was a big deal.
It
came with fridges. But then when I moved in with you, like, you had a fridge, but that apartment didn't come with a fridge.
Right. My old roommate brought
We ended up, after a dozen years with your old roommate's fridge, getting rid of it, buying a new fridge, because we were like, well, we're going to move someday. We're going to move into a house. We're going to need a fridge.
Yeah.
And then we bought a house that came with a fridge.
Yeah.
And we got our old landlady to buy the fridge off us. Yeah. And we still probably took a bath on a few $100 there.
Yeah.
But we did, we did have our own fridge drama. But yeah, in Chicago, which is the only other place that I like looked for apartments, apartments just always came with fridges. It would be weird for it not to. I don't know what that is, like Friends and Mothers nationwide or worldwide. How common is it for an apartment that you rent to come with a fridge already?
Yes, that's a good question. We've also struggled with the plight of trying to have an ice maker built in, and we can't seem to win. Like, when we bought our last one in our old apartment, We needed like a special like permit to be able to use an ice maker, right? Like we didn't have the functionality and we needed to add like a pipe, and our landlady was terrible and wasn't gonna like help us do that.
No, even though I'm sure she's remodeled the place and added that capability now. Right. I'm sure.
And then in this place, we tried to get it added on because, I mean, there is what looks like an ice maker and like water filtration system, but it's non-functional and never has been, and
because
we don't have the right hookup.
The hookup that we have coming out of the wall is like so non-standard that even like when we got like a electrician or a fridge guy, appliance guy or whatever out here, he was like, I've never seen this before.
Our kitchen is so fucked
I couldn't
up.
Find yeah. online or at Lowe's like the right adapter for it's so weird. We yeah. basically need to replace the hookup that comes out of the wall with something that is actually standard and will hook up to our fridge that has a what should be a perfectly functional ice and water maker.
But we don't want to fuck with the like electric grid either, because currently we can't run the microwave and the coffee maker. We can't run two appliances at once.
No, I mean, well, I mean, we say that. We are running our fridge and wine fridge all the time.
Right.
In addition to that, we can only do toaster oven or microwave or coffee maker or air fryer. Yeah. No combination of those two.
No multitasking in this
kitchen. You can't heat
up
toast and make coffee at the same time in our kitchen.
God forbid.
And we called an electrician and got quoted like a couple grand to fix it. And it's like, I don't know if that's worth it.
But we have such boring problems. We have real problems too, but.
Yeah, yeah. I've already forgotten what.
You're talking about Joey's fridge.
The call to action was like.
Apartments
that come with fridges.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my experience of looking for apartments, which I've lived in four different apartments in Los Angeles before we bought this place, more often than not, they do not come with fridges. But also, it's been since 2010 that I looked for an apartment, so maybe things have changed. He wants Rachel to pay half as his roommate. She's obviously not going to do that because she's not his roommate. She's just staying there until her apartment is fixed, although I don't buy that for a second. I think that this is going to be permanent. That has been my prediction from the moment she moved out of Monica's. But there is a funny thing where he's like, I don't know, worked perfectly fine for 30 years, and then you show up and bang, it stops working. It was funny.
Yeah.
Let me get the opening titles. This is the first time I've ever noticed. The opening titles, obviously, you've got them dancing in the fountain, and it usually changes every season. And you've got a bunch of clips from the shows. And I thought it was weird that in the clips from the shows, like, sometimes you see background characters at the Perk or whatever, mm-hmm. but, like, the clips you're seeing are just of the six characters, with the exception of one shot in which Mrs. Geller is prominently featured, like, sitting next to Monica. Right. She's the only, like, supporting, like, guest star whose face appears in the opening titles.
Yeah.
It's clearly they wanted the shot of Monica, and right. Mrs. Geller happened to be there, but it's like, it's so strange to have it all focused on these six, and then like, oh, there's Mrs. Geller.
I guess they don't mind paying Christine Pickles, but they wouldn't want to have to like spend on like a bunch of extras.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess you do get paid if you're So BJ Porter got paid for every single episode of Angel, right?
Yeah.
He's in every single episode.
He's like the first face you see.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys don't, if you know Angel, the Dennis, the ghost who we find out in a flashback as a kid got walled up into the apartment and by his own mother, played by Beth Grant, by the way.
That was scary.
Scary and then
one.
And then turned into a ghost. You see him in the opening credits. He kind of like looks up like he's supposed to be like pleading for help, you know, and of course Angel is the help.
Yeah.
And he's in every single episode of five seasons of Angel. After the titles, we're at the Perk. Rachel needs a date for a Ralph Lauren event. Ross shows up with Elizabeth. They're still dating. Ross refers to the Perk as the coffee house, which I know we've talked about before. It just always seems so weird and old-fashioned to me.
Yeah.
Like, coffee shop, yeah, but coffee house?
Yeah.
I think we've had this whole conversation before. But I think of, like, really old, like, I think about, like, a coffee house that's, like, in, like, Versailles in the 1600s or something. you know?
But then if you say coffee shop, you think of like Denny's or like a diner.
No, that's a diner.
People call those coffee shops.
Hmm.
I think a cafe. Friends and Mothers? Cafe is what the perk
but
would be.
No, but a cafe serves food.
Which they do, muffins and croissants.
They have bagels. A patisserie or whatever. Maybe it's a patisserie, but I feel like a cafe has a kitchen. I don't think the perk has a kitchen. They just have baked goods that are probably not prepared on site, I'm guessing.
Okay.
So maybe it's a patisserie. But I don't think... Coffee house feels like something that doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think
anymore.
It's a patisserie because I think they probably, like, get it from elsewhere. They're not baking the goods.
Okay,
there.
So then it's just a coffee shop.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. But this is... Friends and Mothers need to...
Yeah, Friends and Mothers...
I know, yeah. There's a wealth of knowledge
yeah.
out there with our Friends and Mothers. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
Cafe, coffee shop, coffee house. I think it's okay to call it a coffee house.
Yeah, it probably is. It just seems like such an old-fashioned thing. Like I'm saying, like the Renaissance era when coffee like first came to Europe. That's what I'm like... imagining a coffee house is.
Yeah.
I
mean, but there's a lot, like, people still use WC, like a water closet. It's mm-hmm. not a water closet. Or, like,
yeah.
the parlor. It's not a parlor. Yeah. You know, it's yeah. just, like, there's a lot of those naming things. But call it what you will.
Yeah. Okay, so after Elizabeth leaves, they all rightly make fun of Ross for dating, like, I guess they're kind of making fun of her for being young, but really they're making fun of Ross for dating someone so young.
Yeah, and we did get an answer. She's 20.
Yeah.
She's not a teenager, at the very least.
I mean, that doesn't do me a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So they make fun of that. Then later at Monica's apartment, Phoebe is like, hey, I found a guy for... Rachel, he's got a chin dimple.
Which, butt chin, yeah.
Yeah, butt chin. Yeah, there is a brew pub we go to that makes their own beer, and one of their beers is an IPA called Butt Chin, which if you know the two guys who own it, they're brothers and they both have
I've a always chin wanted dimple. To be like, can I get a
Yeah. But when I think of what do you think is the most famous chin dimple?
John Travolta?
Okay. Okay. For me, it is Cary Grant.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Specifically because of the very cute line in Charade when...
Parker
no, when Audrey Hepburn like runs her thing and goes... How do you shave in there?
Isn't there someone you could park a car?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe it's dimples?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So, Monica and Chandler also have a guy, one of Chandler's coworkers. Phoebe weirdly, says that she looked at the guy's dick while she was massaging him, yeah. which is weird.
Yeah.
And then, okay, answer me this. Because Chandler says, you look, but you've massaged me. And Phoebe's like, I know, and she starts to giggle.
Yeah.
What did you take that to mean?
Small little dick.
But I feel like, canonically, it has been implied more than once since Chandler and Monica started hooking up that Chandler is hung. I feel like that has been a... Because remember when Phoebe found out about them? Because she accidentally picked up the phone while they were, like, dirty... talking over the yeah, phone and Monica yeah. called him like Mr. Big something. We never heard the end of it. Like, yeah. I just thought that it meant that... And I feel like there's been at least one other reference to Chandler being hung. So maybe Monica's giggling or Phoebe's giggling because she knows Chandler's got a big old tallywhacker.
Maybe, yeah.
My sixth grade gym coach was the first day of sixth grade, because this was the first time we'd had gym where there were, like, showers, you know? And he said something like, you know, you're all going to shower together. Don't be ashamed of, like, if you have a little something or a big old tallywhacker that hangs down between your knees. These are sixth grade boys.
Yeah.
And he eventually did get fired for being inappropriate with students.
But everyone, I'm sure, like, laughed.
Yeah, we all laughed. Yeah. Because, like, we'd never... had, you know, it was sixth grade. We never had a teacher talk to us like that.
Yeah.
I also remember, like, like my first like film school class, our teacher, I can't remember what she was talking. She was talking about like this shot from a movie where the woman had her mouth like open, you know, and the teacher, a woman, a lesbian woman, for what it's worth, was talking about the sex, like how the image was sexualized and how it was like, you know, she's got her mouth open, like the stick it in my mouth, like it's what she's, that's what she said.
Yeah.
And the whole class like nervous laughed, and she was like taken aback because it was, I think this was the first time she realized like, oh, all of these kids were in high school a year ago. They've never been talked to like this by a teacher.
Yeah.
Anyway, I loved that teacher, even though she and I had some like knockdown, drag out arguments. Yeah, but I loved her.
About what?
I don't remember anymore. I don't remember what the class was called.
Like about a film?
Yeah, about my opinion. No, not about my work. You know, like I would, you know,
defend
my work, and okay. But then she would also praise my work. Sometimes I really loved her.
Okay.
I can't really remember her name. But also, I remember this is one thing I didn't like about her, because she had some of that judginess, mm-hmm. about the fact that I was from Missouri, you know. And one day I wore my David Byrne T-shirt to class, and she was like, "Oh, that's the Look Into My Eyeball tour. I saw that," and I was like, "Yeah, I got this shirt when he played in St. Louis," and she was like, "He played in St. Louis." Like the idea that David Byrne would stoop to playing in St. Louis was beyond her. She lives like 5 hours away in Chicago.
Yeah.
But like to her, St. Louis is like, might as well be farm country, I guess.
You've always been triggered when people minimize your hometown.
I mean, I think that's true of a lot of people in the Midwest or in, you know, like places that get disrespected. But it is especially true of St. Louisans who are very thin skinned about.
Yes.
And I think it's like, it's in our like institutional memory,
right?
Because I think a lot of people don't realize that
it was supposed to be a major city with the World's Fair.
This is the time, like around the turn of the 20th century, yeah. Like St. Louis
but
was kind
not.
Of like the second city of the country,
and it didn't become that.
I know that, but I still think there's some of that bitterness is in the blood of St. Louisans who are like, we were supposed to be Chicago. We were supposed to be the big, like the jewel of the Midwest, you know? Yeah. And I think there's some bitterness there. Okay. What was I saying? I'm so far off now.
How did we get
so here? Then we were talking about Chandler's penis and then,
Tallywhacker.
Tallywhacker. Chandler goes across the hall, and Joey's eating everything because the fridge is... He doesn't want everything to go bad.
Yeah.
And then Joey tries to get Chandler to pay for the fridge. Obviously, that's not going to work. Ross and Elizabeth make out in his office. This is all, like, so... It just has not aged well.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure how it played at the time.
Yeah.
I just don't... Not pro this storyline. And Elizabeth... Ross thinks Elizabeth is about to ask him to go on a trip with her over spring break, but then a colleague comes in. So Ross is like talking to Chandler and Joey about like, I'm not ready for this level of commitment. Like what I liked about this is that she's young and this isn't serious, you know? And then Joey tries to get Ross to pay for the fridge by pushing him into it and then claiming he broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And then claiming that Chandler was the one who pushed Ross. So then Ross, next time he sees Elizabeth, is like, I don't think we're ready for that. And she's like, oh, I wasn't asking you. I was just letting you know I was going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Right?
Yeah.
So when he tells the gang that at the perk, they're like, wait, is she going on a vacation or is she going on spring break? Because they're like, oh, she's going to go like get drunk and party and have sex with guys. And Ross doesn't like that, which makes me dislike him even more.
Yeah.
Because the one hand, he's like, oh, I like that this isn't serious.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, she should be monogamous.
Yes.
What? This guy fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I really hate him.
Yeah.
Like, who is he to insist that she not go have fun when he's the one who's saying, I don't want this to be a serious thing?
Yeah.
So he just wants her to be...
But the show knows that he's... Yeah. He's in the wrong. I think.
I hope so.
Because he made, like, a fool out of himself. Like... So he had to backpedal and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they keep doubling down on the jokes. It gets worse. It's going to get worse as it goes on, by the way. Okay, then Rachel found a guy at the newsstand because they were both reaching for the same
Field and Stream.
Yeah. What? I read that. So she wants to take him to the charity event, but the rest of the gang, because they have their own guys, are testing him, asking him a bunch of questions. He gets scared off, kind of rightfully. So Rachel agrees to meet their other guys. There's also a joke in here about how Joey went to spring break when he was 13 years old to tell t-shirts and apparently like screwed a bunch of college chicks while he was 13 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. This episode is really doubling down on problematic relationships. So Ross tries to talk Elizabeth out of going to spring break, which is gross. And then he, like, judges her for the size of her bathing suit, which mm-hmm. is, like, gross and, like, paternalistic.
Very much so, yeah. Like, that bathing suit was, like, comically tiny.
It reminded me of the bikini top on Jury Duty. Not Jury Duty, the Pauly Shore movie, the recent Freebie series Jury Duty that we've finally been watching.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do this sometimes, like, why I'm resistant to the hype on something, and I watch it, and it's like, yeah, Jury Duty is hilarious.
Yeah.
And, yeah. There's a character named Jeannie who
answers her
hotel room door in basically a bikini top this size.
Yeah.
Very small. Let's see. Where was I? He's being materialistic. It's very gross. So Rachel agrees to meet Monica and Chandler's guy, whose name is Eldad, and Phoebe's guy, whose name is Patrick, and they all show up at the same time. And they're all being too insistent. And then Rachel gets pissed, or as I apparently typed here, pussed.
Yeah, Rachel gets pussed.
And she starts to storm off, but then she, like, tells them off and stuff. And then she compliments Eldad on his hair.
Yeah.
And then she does storm off. Ross is bidding Elizabeth farewell at the airport. We find out that he tried to hide her bathing suit, which, oh my God. Elizabeth.
Run.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah. The only thing redder than that bathing suit, are the flags that Ross is throwing up.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, stay in Florida. And then she's like, I'm just going with a bunch of my friends. It's going to be kind of fun. And then we find out that all the friends are guys, which, like, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope she sleeps with all of them.
Yeah.
Do you, Elizabeth? Don't be shamed at 20 years old into acting like a prim and proper 50s housewife because Ross is insecure.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I can't remember. I think it was a podcast you and I were listening to that was like, it was like, adult women saying things they wish they'd known when they were teenagers. And like, don't date older guys because you think they're more mature. If they were, they wouldn't be dating you.
Totally.
And that's Ross. Ross is immature, and that's why he is... Anyway, I hate this. I hate Ross. So that's the end, except there's a tag at the end where everyone apologizes to Rachel, and they turn on MTV, and it turns out Ross went to spring break and is on MTV Spring Break, cock-blocking Elizabeth.
Yeah, looking like... a total dweeb.
Yeah, he looks like Charlie Brown. He's got like a Charlie Brown t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Any other stray observations?
No.
Let's move on to funniest moments. When Joey is trying to talk Chandler into paying for the refrigerator, he says, imagine you and I were divorced and we had a kid. Now he says, now suppose the kid dies and I gotta buy a new kid.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny when the gang was kind of like making fun of Elizabeth's age.
Uh-huh.
Not like to her, but to Ross after she leaves.
Yeah.
There was a lot of really, really funny ones. But Ross is like, hey, like, I really like her. Like, can you stop? And, like, Monica, so you think she's going to, like, protect her brother and, like, stick up for him. Uh-huh. And she's like, you know, I'm really sorry, Ross. I I think I really like Elizabeth. In fact, I want my cookies early this year.
This one I think I'm probably stealing from you because I heard you laugh at it too. When Joey pushes Ross into the fridge and then says, "You broke my fridge." And Ross is like, "How do you even know it's broken?" And Joey says, "You think I don't know what breaks my fridge?"
Yeah, I did have that. I think by far the funniest scenes were with the like competition of like dating our guy.
Okay.
You know, between like Phoebe and then Chandler and Monica. They're both trying to impress Rachel. Like when Phoebe says, "Patrick is really rich. Patrick, give her some money."
Yeah.
And then I think Chandler says, "Eldot's a great dancer. Dance for Rachel." Eldot, dance for Rachel.
Yeah, it was funny. I didn't like the storyline, though. It just felt so contrived and fakey.
Yes, of course.
I mean, it just felt like, I've said this before about Friends, every once in a while, it's such a character-based sitcom, especially as it goes on. And then sometimes they do something like this, which feels very season one.
Yes.
That sort of, this sort of like competition,
yes,
type of thing.
Yes.
When they don't have established enough characters to make it all work. Okay. When Ross is saying he doesn't know what to do about Elizabeth going to spring break and maybe sleeping with other guys, and Chandler says, "Well, maybe you don't marry this one."
Yeah, I was trying to decide if this is Under the Umbrella, which it is,
right,
or
yeah,
funniest.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, when Phoebe's like talking up Patrick, she's like, "Have you seen your guy's body?" And Chandler says, "Nope, our guy is just a floating head."
Another one that my last one, but I think I'm also stealing it from you because we both laughed when Rachel feels Eldad's hair and compliments him, yeah, on how soft his hair is.
Yeah.
You don't even call attention to it, but Phoebe just like reaches out and like tousles his hair to check for herself.
Yeah. And then this is also just like very, very funny in Rachel's delivery when she's like exasperated and like is trying to storm out of Central Perk because like everyone is just like humiliating her and like making her feel bad. But she comes back and feels like,
yeah,
Eldot's here again. Now, do you put some kind of special conditioner in that, yeah, hair?
And when he uses something extra?
Papaya extra. She's like, okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I did. This wasn't in my, but I liked Eldot. When Rachel first gets mad and she's like, "Am I the only one who's embarrassed by all this?" And Eldot is like, "I'm a little embarrassed."
Yeah. When Rachel like does meet the guy at the newsstand, he like walks over to like get coffee for them, and then Phoebe goes, "Rachel, what the hell is this?" when everyone's like clowning on Elizabeth's age, Phoebe tries to like get like, yeah, a sick burn in, and she's like, "What is she like 12?"
That reminds me of, well, I mean, hers was not only late, but it was bad. But the lateness reminds me of one of my favorite 80s SNL sketches. I don't know if you remember this one, where it's Rob Morrow is the host, you know, from Northern Exposure and stuff, uh-huh, like that. And Mike Myers, so it's him and Mike Myers and one other cast member, and they're just like having lunch, and Rob Morrow plays a guy who keeps up coming up with jokes like too late, you know? So it's like, they're talking about how crazy the cab drivers are in New York, you know, and like I wonder what how they train these guys. And the conversation moves on, and then Rob Morrow's like, "They probably showed him the French Connection." And Mike Myers is like, "What?" And it's like, "From before, the New York City cab drivers. That's how they train them, is show them the French Connection." He's like, "Oh yeah, that's pretty funny." But he keeps coming up with funny jokes too late.
Yeah.
And then he excuses himself to go to the bathroom, and there's a time machine in the bathroom, and he uses the time machine to go back 5 minutes and make all the jokes on time,
yeah,
and he's the hit.
Yeah.
I love that sketch so much.
Yeah.
That's what Phoebe reminded me of,
yeah,
by being late.
I still have a few more.
Oh, good. Funny episode, sounds like.
There were some funny, a lot of funny. Chandler is trying to like trash talk Sebastian. He's like, "Sebastian, what is that, a cat's name?" I think that is a good cat's name. When Rachel asks, when's her birthday? I've been wanting to go to Chuck E. Cheese. let's see. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. All right, friends would make it fashion. I have two. They're both Ross. One good, one bad. I'll start with the bad. I always want to do the bad first. Yeah, okay. I know. I don't really like Ross's sense of style, even though it's kind of dorky. It's usually at least, like, together. But this looks like, in the first scene we see him in, when he first comes in with Elizabeth, he's wearing a perfectly nice, like, windowpane check shirt and tie, but he's got a very dark blazer and then, like, light stonewashed jeans. The clash between the dark blazer and the super light-colored jeans looks awful, and it looks like someone who doesn't know how clothes work, like,
right,
putting together, like, a halfway nice outfit. Like, I'm just going to throw a navy blue blazer on over a regular outfit, and it looks terrible. It looks very, like, something very much like something Jerry Seinfeld would wear, yeah, who's, like, yeah, not a guy whose style I've ever thought is very good.
Monica has on a green cardigan when she's making a case for Eldad, and I liked it a lot.
And then my positive Ross one is later at the perk. He comes in and he's wearing, again, navy, but a navy blue, like, windbreaker that I thought was, like, very stylish looking. It was not like a free windbreaker or a cheap one you'd get as a, like, promotional thing. It was, like, a nice material, clearly well-crafted, clearly new and clean.
Yeah.
Windbreaker. I liked it.
Props to the props department. There were a lot of, like, name brands, like, in full view when, like, Joey was, like, clearing out the fridge and on top of the fridge. Like, we see Ben and Jerry's ice cream. We see Diet Snapple, as we normally do. But also Magna, or Mazel to the Magna. There's two surfers catching a wave.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that. Yeah. And, like, they look like they're about to, like,
collide.
Yeah, like, tumble over. Like,
wipe
they're
out.
Wipe out. That's the word, exactly the word I was looking for. All right. And that's it for Under the Umbrella?
No, we haven't started Under the Umbrella.
Oh.
That was props.
That was props. Okay, what's Under the Umbrella?
Joey eating too much. Joey being dumb but cute. You discussed it in Funniest Moments, but, like, maybe don't marry this one. Ross from Chandler, because he marries everyone. Monica is, like, getting super competitive and says, like, sit down, we're winning, about the dude.
Yeah.
Rachel has some nipples. And that's it.
I did like her, like, yellow long sleeve tee.
Turtleneck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was thin, like t-shirt material, wasn't
it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like yellow.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to call it too much attention to it.
Yeah, you don't, I do.
So should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we are back from our quick break, and we are ready to jump into Season 6, Episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother, which is called Legend Daddy. Natalie, take it away.
Yes. So we're reminded that Ted has, like, bought a home.
Right.
And he hopes to, you know, use it for his future wife before he even met their mother. And he has all these designs in place for his family and what they're going to do and how they're going to use it. So he brings everyone out to the house. But it's not to, like, clean things up or show them. It's actually for an intervention for Barney. And we don't know exactly what the intervention is for, but then we learn they're at Barney's house and the TV breaks.
Yeah.
And someone's like, oh, we just like need to refix it to the wall. Like, go grab a screwdriver. And Barney calls the superintendent because he doesn't know how to use a screwdriver. And then we hear a knock at the door, assuming it's the superintendent. But it's not. It's John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
Playing Jerry.
Yeah.
Who is Barney's biological father.
Yeah.
Let's see. So they're talking about, like, Barney has never been able to, like, use tools. That's, like, a glaring gap.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because, like, no one ever taught him. Like, his dad has been gone for 30 years. Not saying that someone else couldn't teach him how to use tools.
Moms can teach people how to use tools, too.
But then we are on to the whole joke about, like, glaring gaps in knowledge. And we get a really funny one.
One that hits close to home, by the way.
Okay, so he, instead of pronouncing chameleon, he pronounced it
chameleon.
Chameleon. Chameleon. Yeah. See, I couldn't even do it.
So I, longtime Battleship Retention listeners know, that's my old podcast, that I had a similar thing to this that happened on the show. Where I said, let's seeg into the next topic.
Mm. Segue?
Instead of segue.
Because it's
spelled S-E-G-U-E.
Seeg.
And I like Ted said, you learn a word by reading it.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot because I am so opposed to, like, television news. I hate television news. I think it's terrible. I read the news. There are a lot of, like, major politicians whose names I'm not quite sure on how to pronounce, you know, and stuff like that. But that's definitely the most embarrassing, the Sieg one, because it happened on the podcast. Yeah. And our friend Tyler Sean was the guest. Tyler wasn't there.
Oh.
It was Sean and Jason.
Did Sean call you out?
Yeah, Sean and Jason both called me out. Maybe the only thing that Sean and Jason have ever agreed on in the entire time they might have known each other is making fun of me for saying Sieg instead of segue.
That's very funny. Yeah, my sister had a friend who, I think we talked about it on this pod, the fruit pomegranate.
Yeah. Well, didn't you also have a friend who said weenwa instead of quinoa?
Yes.
I don't even know how you get that one right.
I think, like, she knew it was, like, a difficult spelling or something. Yeah. And she's like, was that weenwa?
Yeah.
And then, like, behind her back, we all called her weenwa.
Yeah.
Like, is weenwa coming to the party?
I knew a guy once who, this was like a friend's 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 boyfriend. I don't remember his name or the name of his girlfriend. Just like, but he was like, oh yeah, I love Belly and Sebastian.
Oh, no. Okay, friends and mothers, give us your most embarrassing mispronunciations.
Yeah. Another one. This is a secondhand story, but it always made me laugh so hard. Back, my friend, a friend of mine, whom you've met, Melissa, back when she was in high school theater. I was in high school theater. We went to different high schools. But she told me a story about students auditioning for the play. And one of the lines, because I guess they're auditioning to play like a doctor or something, and one of the lines was, how long have you had this malady?
Mm-hmm.
And one person said, how long have you had this, m'lady?
I love it. Very also funny, similarly, my sister went to the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, was it? I thought it was Medieval Times. My head is Medieval Times in the story.
Oh.
But maybe, okay, maybe Renaissance Fair. It's
either Medieval Times or Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
And they said, like, welcome in, m'lady. And she's like, how do they know my name? She thought they said, welcome in, Milani. Her name is Melanie.
Yeah.
And they thought they just, like, said her name incorrectly. And I think it was John who's like, that's what they say to everyone. They're just calling you m'lady.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, that's a real good call to action. Because
yeah,
everyone,
good, like, malapropisms or anything. Yeah.
Malapropisms. Perfect. Okay.
Do you know the term mondegreen?
No.
It's a term for when something is commonly you know, when people say, like, death nail, when it's supposed to be death nail, you know?
Yeah.
That's called a mondegreen.
Okay.
Because it's so, it's not one person making a mistake. It's when it's a common thing that a lot of people say.
Like nip it in the butt?
Like nip it in the butt is a great one. Yeah. And the reason it's called a mondegreen is because that's a mondegreen itself. Is there was some poem in which, I'm forgetting, a poem, maybe it was a song, in which the lyrics of the line was like, laid him on the green, and a lot of people thought it was Lady Mondegreen. So that's why that's called a mondegreen.
I have a good one. My friend thought the song was Sitting on Ladakala Bay.
Like it's the name of a
bay. The name of the bay was Ladakala. Sitting on Ladakala Bay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those with songs.
Well, I've talked about with the, to get back to the show, the friends, when I, as a kid, like, your love life's DOA, I could not understand. I was like, your love? And then I was certain that it ended with the word away because of DOA. I was like, so it's like, your love something away? I could never figure out for years what the lyric was.
And did you look it up?
I'm sure I did.
Did it just come to you? Okay. So speaking of glaring gaps in knowledge, Robbins is very funny. She's on a date and her date is I'm going on an expedition to the North Pole. And she's like, okay, very, very uncool. Like, if you wanted to break up with me, just break up with me. We know that North Pole doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And he's like, it very much does.
Yeah.
But she has like an issue with like Arctic creatures as well, because she doesn't think reindeer.
Well, I guess she knows that Santa is not real. Sorry.
Yeah.
So she just assumes that everything to do with Santa is not real.
Yeah.
So like the North Pole and reindeer also don't exist.
They don't exist. So Barney is...
But I remember like thinking that reindeer didn't exist at a certain point in my childhood.
Yeah. Because like you're like, oh, these like things don't fly. Like,
yeah, when you find out there are reindeer, but they don't fly.
They don't fly. They don't have red noses.
Yeah. And they don't look like Rudolph.
No.
Rudolph looks like a deer. Yeah. Right? Not a reindeer. Like, reindeers are like...
No, because they have...
I'm just saying that...
Antlers.
Antlers. But male deer have antlers, right? I'm saying reindeer have a different look.
Okay.
Anyway.
They're more like doe-ish?
No, I feel like reindeer are bigger, more like small moose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not as like petite and graceful as the deer that prance around.
Yeah. So we see Barney and John Lithgow at McLaren's, and initially, like, we see a scene where they're like so much alike. They give each other like high fives at the same time, order the same drink. John Lithgow says he gets laid a lot, you know, and Barney's like really impressed by him. And then John Lithgow like demonstrates by like hitting on a girl at the bar, who immediately gives her her phone number. He's like telling all these stories about, you know, being a roadie and going to Sydney with Bon Jovi and traveling with the Stones, and Barney is like very excited and proud. The gang's at McLaren's and Jerry comes in and he's like, I need help from you guys. Actually, like, I'm a driving instructor from White Plains.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Because Barney told him, you know, what he wanted to hear, wanted to believe. But really, so we know, like, the real story is, like, his dad was, like, drinking skim milk because he had acid from, like, chili that he ate.
Yeah, the chili
last
cheese
night.
Dog or something?
Yeah. And then he switched lanes years ago. He's no longer a roadie, but a...
Driving instructor. Good joke.
Yeah. And now, like, Barney lied to the gang and, like, actually won't return his father's calls. Let's see. We learn that Lily's gap is just, like, bad aim.
Yeah.
With her pee and her throwing.
Okay. Yeah. Marshall says something about, like, you aim so bad that our house, you're the one who pees on the floor.
Yeah.
But it was just earlier this season when Lily was trying to get pregnant you know, and taking and pregnancy test. And Marshall asked, I've always wondered, can girls aim? And Lily was like, can boys aim? I feel like I'm mopping up the floor every morning. So which is it?
Yeah, maybe that was her, like, trying to, like...
Oh, deflect the blame.
Jerry, that's his name, right?
Jerome.
Jerry says, you know, I used to be all about, like, drugs and alcohol and women, and I hit rock bottom when your mom wouldn't allow me to see you. So his mom was trying to protect Barney from the, you know, the hard life of the father.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he kind of, you know, sabotaged that relationship. So he admitted to, like bragging about himself and, like, fake hitting on women. He was desperate, and he just wants another chance to connect with his son. So he does walk over to the woman at the bar and says, like, I'm trying to impress my son. Can you just write down any 7 digits on this piece of paper and give it back to me? And yeah. Okay, so during this intervention type situation, Marshall kind of says to Barney, like, your dad lives like 10 miles away and he's alive, mine is not. And then we're like, oh right, Marshall's still very much like grieving. And even though Barney initially says, like, I never want to see him again, he's like, okay, fine, I'll go and see him. And he goes and has dinner. We meet Cheryl, played by Nancy Travis.
And from So I Married an Ex-Murderer.
Yes. And Barney's kind of like awkward at first, but they have dinner together. It's mom, dad, and JJ.
Yeah.
The son who... Barney is like in competition with and like is insulting and very mean to. Then we go back to the gang, and then Marshall brings up like his gaps in knowledge, and Marshall is like piecing together that there's so many opportunities to make fun of him, but no one does. They're like handling him with kid gloves. Because of his dad dying, and he's bringing up all the things that they didn't make fun of, like him, he says, mojito, and his voice cracks.
Yeah.
Also, like, he gets a soul patch, and they're like, oh yeah, it looks good. And he gets a possum named Rex, and Lily is like so afraid to upset him that she's like, yeah, he could be our pet, even though he's very violent and aggressive, which is not true
as we
possums.
Learned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possums, or actually, they're opossums.
Opossums, right.
Yeah. Possums are found actually more in like Australia.
Quite docile.
Yeah. But opossums are very docile and weirdly unable to be rabid. There's something about like, they're not carriers of rabies.
Yeah, they're intimidating with their teeth. You know, they have like very sharp teeth, and they will try to protect themselves, but they're not aggressive. And Lily says, "I love him." But then we learn that there are a lot of things like Marshall can't wink, he can't swallow pills, and I'll say that for funniest moments. Meanwhile, at the dinner, Barney finds out that JJ, like, he's making fun of JJ's name, and he's like, what does that stand for? And he's like trying to insult him, and it's like Jerome Jr. And then Barney gets like really emotional because like he should be named, like, the oldest son should be named after his father traditionally, and he wasn't obviously named after his father. He goes outside and then tries to destroy the basketball hoop. He can't get it off. And then Jerry goes into the house and brings out his toolkit and like explains to Barney how to remove it with the screwdriver, and he does righty tighty lefty loosey. And then you know, Barney kind of like breaks down, and then, to be honest, I got an alarming text from my sister, so I kind of tuned out the rest of the episode.
Oh,
so you could finish this one.
I mean, wait, where did you leave off just now? He like
they like take off the basketball to get the basketball hoop together.
So I think the only thing, unless I'm misremembering, I think the only thing you missed was Barney then gifting the basketball hoop to Ted for his house and saying your kid should have a hoop or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I guess that's it. As far as the only other stray observation I had that we didn't get to is when Barney's told the gang that he's going on the Asian leg of the Bon Jovi tour, he says he has to go get his passport renewed. And as you and I know from somewhat recent experience within the last year, like that's not something you could do super quickly, especially I've read that it started to get back to normal now, but last year we went to Mexico in May and I needed to renew my passport, which I submitted in February, 3 months before, thinking that would be plenty of time.
Yes,
but I guess post-COVID there was a huge backlog. So many people were wanting to travel and renewing their passports and stuff. It took forever. It was getting down to the wire, and I ended up having to call my congressman, and which worked like a charm. Yeah. Like I got it like 2 days after I called my congressman.
So yeah,
but that's what you do. But I have read that that backlog has started to chip away, and the wait times are getting back to normal. But I still think renewing your passport is not something you can just like do in a weekend.
So, but here's the thing, word to the wise, it either has to be like a year to 6 months in advance or the week before, because the reason why you couldn't expedite it was because it was already in process. So do 6 months or a week before.
Yeah.
None of that middle. Well,
and also we learned recently from a different show, Amazon Prime's Harlem, that most countries won't allow you to use a U.S. passport if it expires in less than 6 months.
Yeah.
Even if you're like planning to go and come back before it expires,
yeah,
if it's less than 6 months, it's essentially expired, which is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Funniest moments? I've only got one.
Okay. I have quite a few.
Okay.
When Barney is like trying to like brag about his cool dad, he said he's the mother of all fathers.
Yeah. when Barney is like competing with JJ and he's like, I make a lot of money, how much do you make? Yeah. And JJ says, I'm 11. And Barney says, now we all know you make excuses.
Yeah. Also when he snaps at JJ, I'm talking to dad right now, come on. Just, like, very childlike.
Well, that, I mean, I was going to put it in my, under the umbrella, but, like, Barney regressing is a common thing. Because remember when he met...
Oh, that's a good one.
When they met... God, why do I always forget Wayne Brady's character's name?
Yeah, I do too.
Barney's brother.
Yeah.
Steve? I can't remember.
Stanley?
When they meet his dad, Ben Vereen, and Barney's pretending like it's his dad too, and he's like, Dad, look how fast I can run. Dad, you're not looking.
Yeah. Them just making fun of Ted, like, that took a lot of character, like, making fun of his pronunciation.
Yeah.
Lily throwing keys poorly is very funny. And now I'm thinking, like, has this happened before? And we just hadn't noticed it or didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be beyond the How I Met Your Mother writers.
The reindeer North Pole with Robin is very funny. The idea that Rex is violent and he hates us and like Lily just like allowed it, even though he's like actually like attacking Marshall.
Yeah. In his sleep. Yeah.
When Jerry is like trying to, impress his son and like, I don't know, like he's chanting more quiche, more quiche.
Yeah.
I don't know the context.
He was like, and then the county fair judges started chanting, more quiche, more quiche.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Barney's really good, or Neil Patrick Harris is really good in this episode.
Yeah.
What do you have for Make It Fashion? Oh, I meant another Make It Fashion, me either. Not a fashionable episode.
Yeah.
As far as Under the Umbrella, I mentioned Barney regressing. We get, obviously we get a legend, wait for it,
yeah,
Daddy, and we get an attempted high five.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't really happen because it was in Barney's fake story about the attempted high five. I also wanted to call out that when Jerry shows Barney a picture of his family, we don't see it. We hear Barney say, like, they're all wearing matching sweaters. But Jerry does mention that he has... JJ's his second kid. He has a daughter in college.
Okay.
So that will... Yeah.
Oh, that'll come up.
That'll come
up. Yeah. Also, Under the Umbrella, a Star Wars reference.
Yeah.
They know that... Marshall knows they're treating him with kid gloves because he says, like, Phantom Menace is the best movie. And they're like... Yeah. It has its...
It ages well.
Yeah, it ages Barney well. Says. Yeah. And then also Animal Actors, which we don't like.
Right.
Rex.
Yeah. Yeah. What similarities do you see between the two shows?
This was difficult for
me. Okay, I'm glad, because I was on the lookout.
I pulled up a few. One, this is a stretch, but I mentioned I liked Monica's cardigan. Barney actually comments on Cheryl's cardigan.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, like, clowning on kids, making fun of kids and their age.
Okay.
So Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And JJ.
Okay.
And then the idea of being nervous about someone taking a trip. Ross is nervous about Elizabeth taking a trip.
Yeah.
And Barney is nervous about his dad leaving the next day to Sydney.
Right.
In his, like, fictitious version of the story. Yeah.
I guess the only thing I can think of is, like, Barney doesn't know how to take apart the basketball hoop.
Pulling things off.
And Joey doesn't know how to, about the back of the fridge. Yeah.
Yes.
Here, the other thing that, what bothered me about the hoop thing is, like, Barney takes the backboard and hoop, but there's also, like, the mechanism that connects it to the house.
Yes.
He should take that, too, for Ted.
Yes, so he could mount it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now Ted's going to have to get a mount.
Yes.
You know, but I guess now Jerry only has to buy a new backboard. He doesn't have to buy a new mount.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, the way that the Friends gang did, like, the stream of insults about Elizabeth was very How I Met Your Mother. Not as funny or clever, but like, very, just the constant, like, everyone has something to offer. Everyone takes a turn. That was very How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. All right. I'm actually dreading this next part. We have to play favorites.
3, 2, 1.
How I Met Your Mother? Yeah. I don't think it's a great How I Met Your Mother.
I don't either.
But it's just an annoying Friends.
Yeah.
Despite there being some very funny stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
Mostly with Joey at the fridge.
I like seeing John Lithgow. I like seeing Nancy Travis. I like when Barney is vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously we'll see more of John Lithgow.
And the storyline with Elizabeth, we don't dig.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't think that's a great How I Met Your Mother. I wish there were more laughs.
Yeah.
Because there's really, like... One thing I usually like about How I Met Your Mother is that it has, like, kind of like Seinfeld would, it has an A plot, but it would have robust B and C plots.
Yeah.
This episode is just, like, so much just about...
It's very heavy.
That there's... I mean, there's the runner about, like, blind spots, but there's not really... there's not enough... Like, normally I like when a show like How I Met Your Mother or BoJack Horseman, as I've said before, like, balances, like, a heavy emotional episode with something very, very silly.
Yeah.
And this didn't really have enough silliness in it. Because even the blind spot thing ended up being, like, kind of maudlin about Marshall's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's catch up on our correspondence. I think we only have one.
Okay.
And I failed to call it up. Man, I'm really stuffed up right now. Let's see. We have one, but it's a long one.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Here. Andrew. And I haven't read it yet. I just saw that it was long, and I was like, okay, I'll read it on air. But don't read it while I'm reading.
Okay.
I want you to react like the listeners.
Okay.
Andrew says, happy Sunday, which means... he or they sent this today.
It is on a Sunday.
What's that?
It is Sunday, right?
That's
now.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it was said today, very early this morning. I know the call to action was for drunk stories, but I have a similar story to Natalie's getting locked out from the gate. I thought I'd share for laughs. Back when my boyfriend and I just started dating, we took a trip to Charleston. I'm guessing South Carolina, right? Because isn't there also a Charleston, West Virginia?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the capital of West Virginia is Charleston.
Okay.
Anyway, to visit my family and so he could meet my nephew. One night, we went out with his friends who happened to live there. My parents live in a resort area on Isle of Palms, which is one of Charleston's main beach towns. Okay, so Charleston, South Carolina, because West Virginia would not be on the beach. We came back late, but got through the gate fine. Let's see. We tried to be quiet, as my parents were watching my nephew and didn't want to wake him. The condo has three doors, one in the middle and two on the sides where the bedrooms are. Before we went out, my dad made sure our bedroom was unlocked so we could get in. Little did he know that it was a broken door, and even though it was unlocked from the inside, it wasn't fully unlocked, and we couldn't reach them. We had nowhere to sleep, and given that it was a resort on a beach island, the hotel rates were astronomical. We were sure we were going to get arrested. We ended up taking pillows off my parents' porch and slept in my car, which at the time didn't have a license plate. I had just switched over my tags to Georgia, and they gave me a paper one that flew off on the way between Atlanta and Charleston. So there we were, looking as sketchy as could be, since it looked like we snuck into the resort with an unlicensed car and stole pillows off of someone's front porch. Even though we weren't hungover after that, it did take us a day to recover.
Yes, that's a good story.
Good story. Andrew also says, as far as the cheetah and leopard print thing, wouldn't be able to tell you the difference. As I said, I've tried to learn, as it's a pet peeve of mine, that people will show up to Clemson games. I'm a Clemson alum and wear the Tigers, wearing leopard or cheetah print. Interesting. Yeah, because Clemson, obviously, yes. Okay, so.
Hope you call everyone out and say, that's not tiger.
I'm not an alum. I'm what is sometimes referred to as a sidewalk alum of Mizzou, meaning that I didn't go to Mizzou, but I have been a Mizzou fan. My family were Mizzou fans. I've been a Mizzou fan since birth, I guess. You don't like that. You don't like when kids are indoctrinated into sports.
Yeah.
But I've been a Mizzou fan since birth, so they're also the Tigers, but people don't tend to wear prints to their games. It's just the yellow M. Okay. For the Andrew continues to go, for the calzone versus the trash eclair, I'm essentially Ben from Parks and Rec. I will eat a calzone anytime and anywhere, and there's no judgment towards Marshall on my part. That calzone sounded delicious.
Yeah.
I haven't had a calzone in a long time.
Me either.
Sorry for the long email. Just your story reminded me of that incident, and I realized I can totally laugh about it now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew.
I love that story. Thank you, Andrew. You're very resourceful with the the cushions and the car. I would have loved to have some cushions and a car if I did indeed have to stay outside.
Yeah, but having your temporary license plate blow off, that would be terrible. I had a paper license plate for a while this past spring. Luckily, it stayed on.
Yeah.
And then I got new license plates, and then I failed to put the sticker on them for months.
You just forgot, yeah. And you thought you did.
I thought I had.
You had like a false memory of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of changing cars, I think I had done it recently enough that I was like, yeah, I did that. But
I was just sitting there. Did you put the X's in it? Because my dad always taught me to put key X in it so it's harder to peel off.
Yeah, so people can't steal your...
And I asked you if you did that. You're like, no, I didn't. That's why.
Yeah,
That's why it got stolen.
Yeah, I was sure it got stolen, but it turned out I just forgot.
Yeah.
And I was driving dirty. I was riding dirty for months.
Yeah.
Talk about white privilege, you know?
Yeah.
All right. What else is next? What do we normally do after this? Next up is my favorite segment to introduce. It's called "How Were We Doing?" Which sounds weird to say with my stuffy. How were we doing? I'm like Monica pretending not to be sick. I'm fine. How were we doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. So, season 6, episode 19 of Friends, the one with Joey's fridge, aired on Thursday, March 23rd, 2000. I couldn't find a lot, but every March 23rd since 1961 is World Meteorological Day.
Okay.
And it's the World Meteorological Organization sort of uses the day to bring attention to meteorological issues, which in the past decades has been a lot about climate change, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's March 23rd, 2000. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. Did I blow right past it? Top five songs in the U.S. that day. Yes. At number five, Bye Bye Bye. NSYNC.
Yeah.
At number four, Faith Hill. I can feel you breathe. It's washing over me. At number three, Lone Star. Maybe I'm amazed by you. Right?
Yeah, check out that video.
Yeah. At number two, Santana Maria Maria. And at number one, this is going to get me pilloried by the... Do you say Bayhive or Beehive?
Beehive.
Beehive? One of my least favorite songs of all time. Say My Name by Destiny's Child.
Oh. Of all time?
I don't like Destiny's Child. And I don't really like early Beyonce, to be honest. It wasn't until like the self-titled surprise drop album in 2010, I think, when she started bringing more overt hip-hop into her music. And now like the more recent stuff with Renaissance being very house. I like that. But I feel like Destiny's Child and her early stuff is, like, despite her obvious talents as a vocalist, mostly indistinguishable from any other sort of replacement-level radio R&B of that time.
Yes,
but Destiny's Child music, I find annoying. Hmm. Say My Name is annoying. Bills, Bills, Bills is annoying.
What about No, 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 No?
Yeah. That's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it all gets on my nerves. Independent Women Part 1 or whatever is super annoying, you know?
Disagree.
But there's a problem with... Look, I'm not... It's so hypocritical of me to say that, like, I find Beyoncé's feminism problematic, you know? But, like...
I think it's evolved.
I think it has evolved.
Yes.
But it is early, even going into, like... what's it called? If you like, then you sort of put a ring on it, you know? That's, like... really, that's your bar for, like, standing up? And then with Independent Women, like the clothes I'm wearing, I bought them. The car I'm driving, I bought it. It's like, really? That's the bar, huh? That's as much as you're fighting for?
No, it's
it feels so regressive.
It is regressive, and it has evolved. But, yeah, why don't you tell me more about feminism?
I just don't like... early Beyoncé. But then I get to a point where I love Beyoncé. Renaissance is amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Lemonade, amazing.
Yes.
The self-titled album, amazing. I feel like there's one in there that I'm even forgetting about. All right.
So that's... Formation, right? Or no,
that's on Lemonade,
that's
right?
That's on Lemonade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Season 6, episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother, which is called Legend Daddy, aired on Monday, March 21st, 2011. Possibly the first day of spring. I didn't look that up.
The 21st, you said?
The 21st, because the equinox changes. It's usually like the 20th to the 22nd, somewhere around there. Yeah. So Monday, March 21st, 2011. On that day in, I think, Massachusetts, I got to be better at like... I looked these things up, but then I... Okay. The first complete face transplant performed in the United States happened at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. Weirdly, it's called Women's Hospital, but the patient was a man named Dallas Weens, still alive. His face was very, very badly burned by a downed power line. Wow. He lost his sense of sight. They were obviously not able to... restore that, but his face transplant did eventually give him his senses of smell and taste back, which are good, and he is still alive today. He actually married a woman that he met in a burn survivors support group, although they are since divorced, sadly. But good for the doctors. The first time that was ever done in the U.S. It was not the first face transplant ever done, but it was the first United States face transplant. Top five songs. God, I'm so stuffed up. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. At number five, Jennifer Lopez, On the Floor. At number four, Rihanna, S&M. Do you remember that one? At number three, Katy Perry, E.T. How does that go? I remember that song, but I can't remember how it goes. Mm-hmm. Probably don't like it. And then, yeah, I think number two and number one are unchanged, though it's been a while since we recorded. And number two, CeeLo Green, Fuck You. Right? Mm-hmm. And number one, Lady Gaga, I Was Born This Way. I just like, I pulled a Marshall saying yeah. Mojito. I just like hiccuped in the middle of singing, yeah. I Was Born This Way. Hey, I Was Born This Way. Anyway, so that's how we were doing. Final segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both shows, armed only with knowledge of the episode titles. But first, we have to look at how we did last week. I said Rachel is grossed out by the things in Joey's fridge, but maybe she can fix him. That didn't happen. You said Barney meets his daddy. You got it.
Yeah, but you kind of like...
I'm still ahead by one.
Yeah.
On the season. Maybe that's why I felt more comfortable helping you out.
Feeding me? Spoon feeding me?
I did not. I did no such thing. I helped a little bit. So yeah, I'm going to look up the next episodes are called, but I'm going to need you to vamp first. Is it still the holidays?
It's still the holidays.
Oh, okay.
Scalloped... Cracker Trio. Step up to the snack bar mix. Jingle jangle. Milk chocolate rondos. Onion confit swirls.
Okay.
Peppermint chips.
Season 6, episode 20 of Friends is called the one with mac and cheese, but cheese is all caps and with periods in between, so it's like an acronym for something. The one with mac and cheese. Okay. I guess I'm going to say that the one with mac and cheese. I don't think it has anything to do with macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm going to say that mac and cheese is some ridiculously convoluted game or something that Ross and Monica... made up as kids, and yeah, so the Geller siblings introduce the gang to their convoluted childhood ritual with a ridiculous acronym. So yeah, mac and cheese is something that Ross and Monica did as kids.
Okay.
And it's going to stand for something. You, season 6, episode 20 of How I Met Your Mother is called The Exploding Meatball Sub.
Okay. The Exploding Meatball Sub. Should I know? Is this one of those things that I should... This is like a reference that's already been made?
No.
Okay. Okay. Okay, this is going to... I'm not going to get a point for this because this is too far out. Yeah,
there's no way you're going to get... It's...
But... So this is actually like one of those advertisement guys dressed as a meatball sub. Okay. And he's going to explode with rage. So it's okay. Not going to be an actual exploding, but it's an angry advert.
Okay.
Costume.
I know you're thinking sub. Of this because didn't Ted and Barney or Ted and Marshall recently get into it with a guy dressed as a big cell phone?
Yes. So yeah. Similarly, okay. Yeah.
So a poor fella... Hold on. This is going to be good.
Okay.
A poor fella dressed as a meatball sub gets pushed past his melting point.
Ooh, good one. That is a good one.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. That's the end of the episode. You can...
Does he ball up his fists?
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna be full of piss and vinegar.
Good one.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's gonna be really cheesed by it.
Okay. You can find us at Battleship, sorry.
I was like, huh?
You can find this episode wherever you found this episode. You can find other episodes where you found this episode. Where is my head? I'm sick. I'm full of, yeah, my sinuses are all clogged up. You can also find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com. You leave a comment there, as many people have often done. You can email us, as Andrew did, at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. And I feel like there's usually something else that I say there, but that's all I remember. That's where people can find me. Natalie, where do you want people to find you on the internet?
I don't, as you know, but if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, give us 5 stars or tell us why we don't deserve all 5 of them. Let us know your malapropisms and mispronunciations.
Oh, right. That's what I was going to
say. Let us still know your drunk stories. I think that's a good one. And yeah.
How do you differentiate between cafe, coffee shop, yeah, coffee house, patisserie, yeah, yeah, bakery, like all of these things? How do you differentiate?
Apartment fridge or apartment no fridge.
That's right, yeah.
Hashtag Frigidaire or Frigidon't. God, that made you laugh. Until next time, we'll be at the Hotel Corona on Daytona Beach.